Welcome to Magically Amateuring.
I'd like to put a welcome out there to all you new moms who are listening to our podcast and old dads.
New moms and old dads.
And everyone in between. Welcome.
Welcome, guys. we're a podcast. We're a podcast.
That's true. We are.
That is factual. We're a podcast for new players of Magic the Gathering, old players returning to the game of Magic the Gathering, and people who play or like to listen to people talking about Magic the Gathering.
That's right. And as I think I've mentioned before on the show, we're also for non-people. Pets. That includes animals. That includes plants of all sorts. That includes aliens. That includes body parts. That includes sorts of rocks and minerals.
That's right. So for all of you magic playing Venus flytraps out there, This one's for you guys.
Hey, Megan and I learned how to play Magic about a year and a half ago. We're what you might call amateurs, and we're going to spread some of our amateur knowledge and share it with you guys out there.
That's right. First, sad news and announcements.
We have an announcement. Boop, boop, boop.
As some of you may have noticed, Ben has not been on the past couple of episodes, and we are very sad to say that Ben, unfortunately, isn't able to consistently be part of the podcast going forward. Of course, we know that you will miss him. We will miss having him on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But never fear, Magic the Amateuring will continue on.
We'll live on, much like if you cut a starfish's arm off, another arm grows in its place.
That's right. We are the starfish. And one of the arms joining us today is a perennial guest of the show, Matthias Hunt.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Matthias is a pro player and former player of the year, in case you need some background on this dude.
Not quite,
but rookie of the year. Oh. Player of the year, that would have been sweet.
I'm going to call it right now, one day, player of the year.
All right, we'll go with that. Future player of the year.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I've announced you so many times. How could I?
All right, so this week and last week, or no, 2 weeks ago, Matthias is joining us for the show. And going forward, we're going to have some guests lined up, and then we're going to work on a long-term new arm for this starfish.
That's right. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about M15, what's the haps with that, if you know what I'm saying. We've got transformational sideboarding we're going to talk about, as well as standard, the current condition of standard.
That's right, everybody. Today we'll have a standard corner.
Are you ready, everybody? Are you buckled in? Are you ready for the six G forces about to hit your G spot? Okay. I wonder if you can feel it there.
What?
G-force. Because when in the movies, you only ever see it like affecting their face.
I'm sure G-forces affect all of your body, but I think it's more like you're going to puke. Just so we're clear, like the way that G-forces affect the human body, I think it's mostly an I'm nauseous, gonna barf kind of situation.
Okay, sure. I'll make up my own reality.
For the noobs.
Transformational sideboarding. What the heck does that mean?
What does that mean? Matthias.
All right, well, transformational sideboarding is just a specific kind of sideboard when you have a deck that does one thing game one and you want to do an entirely different thing game two. Oh,
so why am I not just playing that other deck then?
So sometimes it's a little bit of a bait and switch sort of game, and sometimes your first deck is just not good at doing its plan A. So for example, Megan got to this last week and we played standard, and I'd say there's almost a transformational sideboard when you play mono blue devotion right now in standard.
Oh, and I was playing, so Matthias was playing mono blue, and I was playing blue-white control. And the matchup for mono blue, the first game, is pretty miserable for them. You know, they're casting creatures, and the control player is just killing them all.
Yeah, mono blue is a stack of about 30 creatures, and if there's nothing you can do about it, they just cast Supreme Verdict, and your creatures aren't very big, and then before you know it, they're casting Sphinx's Revelation, and you're not fast enough to kill him before it happens. That's a really bad game one.
So you're saying you go from mono blue to playing mono red from your sideboard?
Well, almost. But That would be a little hard because you can't sideboard out, you know, 21 islands. So,
oh, okay.
Then you'd have to put like mountains in your sideboard, and that would be really.
How many cards can you have in your sideboard?
You can have up to 15 cards in your sideboard.
I'm going to just make mine all lands.
You could do that. You could make it all lands. Interesting. Make it different lands. But transformational sideboards usually take like 10 plus spots in your sideboard, and you switch it. So like the mono blue thing is like kind of a transformational sideboard. So what we did when we played against Control is you actually board out about 11 creatures. Like, I brought in 13 cards in the matchup, which is almost my entire sideboard. And the reason you call it transformational is, like, these cards that I'm boarding in, there's almost no other match I'm even bringing these in. So it's like, I boarded out 13 creatures, and I brought in, like, 9 counter spells.
To counter their counters.
Right, well, the whole game actually just changes. So game one's like, I play creatures, they kill my creatures, I hope I killed them before they killed too many of my creatures, and that's like the game.
They hope that they kill all my creatures before I've killed them.
Right, sure. But then game two, it's different, right?
Yes, it becomes, I would say, from the blue-white perspective, much more challenging. Because all of a sudden, it's not about them playing creatures into just all of your wrath effects. All of your murder, murder, murder. yep.
But not the card murder.
Not the card murder.
That's a black card.
That's right. It becomes much more about, you know, they can play just a couple of creatures and sort of force you to kill them or force you to have, you know, a revelation or something maybe earlier than you would want to. And then they can back up those creatures with some card drawing or with some counter spells.
Yeah. There's actually a game where if you're playing mono blue, you'll just play like one guy, like Frostburn Weird, you know, good old draft stalwart Frostburn Weird. And you'll just sit there and you'll hit them for 4 until, and like maybe they'll Azorius Charm your Frostburn Weird. And if they do, that's okay. You just play him again next turn.
Yeah, but they're like, I don't want a Supreme Verdict for
right.
one.
Well, if the Supreme Verdict your Frostburn Weird, you play another one. And you like try to sit there with a Thassa and play. And the big thing you do is, as long as I have like 9 counter spells, I'm just like, well, you're not going to get to resolve Jace or Sphinx's Revelation. I'm going to counter those if you ever play them. And so what I do is I sit there hitting them for 4 with my like Frostburn Weird, right? And then when they tap out to Supreme Verdict finally, well, then they don't have counter spells up and they don't have removal up. So I'm like, oh, okay, he dies. Now I'll play a Thassa and this Tidebinder Mage or something really dumb. And then I'll just like start doing it again. And eventually they like, because you're never letting them draw extra cards, you actually can beat them.
So is this one matchup that it's transformational, or is it considered transformational in a lot of other matchups as well?
So this is like a minor transformational sideboard in that
it's like a nose job, but it's not the whole deal.
I think, you know, like there's like, I can talk more about like, there's some more extreme things that decks do, but I would say like you have cards like 4 gainsays in your sideboard. And there's a lot of situations where I'd say like, this is the most transformational. Like there's enough sideboarding. I think like when you're boarding 13 cards in a matchup, that's when you're really transforming your strategy.
Yeah, I would say for me, transformational is an apt word in this situation because mono blue goes from being like a creature based aggro deck to almost like not quite another control player, but it's definitely not a creature based aggro deck anymore because it's not just throwing creatures out so that you can Supreme Verdict them away. It's playing much more of like a cat and mouse kind of game.
I think historically, the decks that have used transformational sideboards have been combo decks. And if you go back to, say, like our first...
1872.
Yeah, go to our first Modern Pro Tour. There's a deck in the top 8 that was a Pyromancer Ascension deck in the top 8. And if those guys, you don't aware that, it's a lot like Modern Storm. 0 creatures, 4 Pyromancer's Ascensions, a lot of rituals. You still could play Ponder and Preordain at that point. So a lot of card selection, just a lot of, you know... little red and blue things.
Hold on, we're gonna just clarify a couple of the terms that you've been saying. So Ponder and Preordain are two card selection spells that are banned now.
Right.
And they're called card selection because they each only draw a card, but there's a lot of like scrying and determining if you're gonna shuffle your deck.
Right, so the deck is just full of a lot of cards that let you pick what card you draw next.
Yes.
And then just a couple of combo-y things.
Yeah,
so,
and
like,
then the rituals are... what are the two names of the rituals?
They at that time it's like Pyretic Ritual, Desperate Ritual, Manamorphose.
Yes.
Just little things that make a little bit more mana.
Yes. So those are spells where you pay 1 or 2 mana and you get 3 mana out of the spell.
So if you were playing against this deck and you had to sideboard, what kind of cards do you think say you're a control player, what would you probably have to sideboard out playing against this deck after game one?
Sideboard out?
Yeah, what cards are, you know,
Anything that kills a creature.
Right, anything kills a creature. So what this deck did in the top eight was his sideboard started out with four Deceiver Exarchs, four Splinter Twins in the sideboard. And he would actually side out the Pyromancer's Ascensions, side out the Grape Shots and the Lightning Bolts, and side in, you have all this card selection, right? Suddenly you'd have four, and this is a two-card combo that wins the game. And you just board side in four Deceiver Exarchs and four Splinter Twins. And the thing is that, well, that's a creature that you have to put an aura on, and when you do it, you win the game. And normally that's kind of hard to do against control, but once a control player has sided out all of their kill spells against you, well, then it's like, you know, I'll just, like, play some lands. You'd think you'd be playing me normally, and then suddenly you'd be like, you'd say go on turn three, and you'd be like, surprise, end step Deceiver Exarch. And you'd be like, oh wait, hold on. This is a different deck. And like, untap, win. And so then it becomes this, like, bait and switch game that you play with your opponent.
Wow, I'm, you know, yeah. It's just like, I don't even know you anymore, man. Like,
exactly.
We went to college together. We went bowling into the movies, and now you're like into dirt and potatoes.
It's now
like,
you're into dirt.
I was trying to think what is the weirdest change.
What happened to the people that you knew in high school?
Yeah,
that's the place where your brain goes.
There have been a lot of so in history of Magic, there's been a lot of combo decks that really can't do their combo in certain matchups. So for those of you, like, in history, there was a deck called Tooth and Nail.
In 1872.
Yeah, there's a deck called Tooth and Nail. It's mono green. It just ramped into this big spell that if you paid, it cost 9, and if you resolved it, you won immediately. Okay, so it's like ramp, 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 9 mana spell win. And, like, the problem was that deck's really bad against counter spells because, you know, you tap your 9 mana spell and they'd counter it. So they would board out all their, like, something like 8 ramp spells and then all the copies of the 9 mana thing, and they just brought in a bunch of green creatures for game 2.
They would just play like creatures, attack you.
The sideboard was like 9 green creatures and 4 pieces of equipment. And they'd be like, I'm on the, and it was called the man plan, and you go into
the
it after
man
board.
Plan.
Yeah. You're like, just kidding, I'm never gonna resolve this against you, stupid blue deck. I'm gonna hit you with hexproof
you guys,
now.
I'm on a man plan, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what that means. I don't know that I want to know, though, so please don't feel obligated to explain.
So, transformational sideboards don't happen very often, but I think when they do, they're some of the coolest stuff that happens in tournaments.
Yeah, so essentially, it's when a deck takes out a very large chunk of its main deck cards and puts in a bunch of sideboard cards that change the plan of the deck.
Yeah, you change the plan completely. I would say, like, you could maybe, it would be like, what if I was playing Esper in Standard and my side, like, or Blue White, like, Esper Control in Standard, and I determined maybe I hate Revels, like, the mono black matchup. And what if instead my sideboard was, like, all just Sin Collectors, Obsidats, Soldier of the Pantheon, and, like, you know, like 15 creatures.
Yeah.
And I just boarded all of them in one matchup. You'd be like, what am I playing against? Like,
yeah. And then the mono black player would have pulled out all of the removal. And
oh,
they'd
yeah.
be like, what is this?
They'd cut their Devour Fleshes, right? And then you'd be like, 4 Blood Barons or something. And you'd be like, I'm just going to hit you with this Blood Baron. Right.
Yep. That seems pretty evil. Now this makes me curious. So when we were playing this mono blue, blue white thing, it was sort of like there wasn't a ton that I could do in game 3 to change my sideboarding. I generally knew what your game 2 and 3 plan was, and I did the best that I could against it. You know, I brought in like some archangels. I brought in some gainsays. And that sort of thing.
I brought in a tuna sandwich to distract you.
Yes.
Can you sideboard things that aren't cards?
Well,
good question.
So
can, like, I sideboard into this tight tank top?
Transform sideboards don't happen as, like, extreme and standard as I was talking
about. Okay, wait. So let me get to my question was, which was in like the combo ones that you're talking about where it's like the Pyromancer's Ascension deck that put in Splinter Twin and Deceiver Exarch instead.
The best part is they're an Ascension deck that cut Ascension. They cut all of the namesake card. They just,
okay.
Right.
My question is in game 3, what happens?
Well, this is the best part. When you go to game 3, you both kind of stare at each other, and you're like, is he going to be playing the Twins or the Ascensions now? And, like, if I'm the combo player, what I'll do is I'll take my 60-card main deck and my 15-card sideboard, and I'll shuffle them all together into a 75-card deck, and I'll shuffle it a bit, and then I'll go through my deck, and I'll face down pull out 15 cards, and then I'll present my deck. So you don't know which, because then you don't know whether I've kept the card. You don't know whether I've switched back to the game one plan or whether I'm on the game two plan. Right?
So the
you can't watch me switch cards out. I don't want
That's so sneaky.
Right. I don't want you to watch me. I don't want you to know how many cards I've taken in or put out. So I'll just do it that way. And you're like, well, which ones did he take out? And now you have to decide, do you want your Doom Blades or not?
Well, what do you do? Do you go with the original or do you go with, or you're not going to reveal your secret tech?
So sometimes you have to, if you know more about, well, like game two, you already revealed it, right? Because we're going to game three. So sometimes it's like if one of the plans is like more successful in the matchup, you'll go with that one. That's what I'll usually try to do. But sometimes it's, if you feel like it's a bad matchup in general, maybe you'll just try to next level them and try to win a game of rock, paper, scissors. And it's pretty fun.
Very, very interesting. Would you say, is there any application for the idea of transformational sideboarding too limited? Is there any time when you felt like that? I'm not saying, obviously, there are very few times when you know you have 15 cards that you switch in and switch out.
I would say in draft, it's non-existent. You just don't have enough cards in your sideboard to ever do something like a 10-card sideboard change.
Yeah.
In sealed, there's like sometimes where I'll do transformational like color swapping. So say like, you know, say I'm a green black, I'm like a, let's say green white deck, and you're playing a green white deck too, except like your big creatures are all just bigger than mine.
Yeah,
well, that's gonna be really bad for me because I'm gonna play creatures and yours will just beat mine up. So I might be like, okay, you know what, I'm gonna do a game two, I'm gonna side out all my green cards because they're not big enough and side in black for kill spells instead, and I'm gonna play white black instead because I'm just going to change my whole strategy. Now I'm on the kill all your things plan.
I think a lot of times in sealed, people will build two completely separate decks to play. So, but, you know, it's useful to think about it this way as well, where it's not like I'm just making a completely separate deck, but maybe I should consider siding in a different color to go with one of mine.
Yeah, so sometimes you can prepare a sideboard. A lot of times you have two separate decks, it'll be the case that one of your decks is just actually better than the other one. And like if they're close, like sometimes it's hard to figure out which one's better. I'll build them both because like I just don't know which one's better.
Yeah.
I had a Grand Prix where I built the wrong deck at my sealed. And so game one, I realized this after like two rounds. So then I just decided I played my other deck game two every round. So like that's happened. But yeah.
I think I've had it happen before where I'll build a deck and maybe it wasn't, you know, like the greatest sealed pool ever. And I was just sort of like, well, do you know what? This deck has a plan. I feel like I've done it a lot with like more controlling ones where I'm like, this is very control, but if I hit another control deck, that's actually like my control will never be as good as someone else's control. So right. I'll have like,
Megan, your control is fine.
Oh, thank you, Maria. I have some, but I do have some, you know, I'm self-conscious about my control.
I understand.
Have sometimes some control like, issues.
Just think it's fine.
Yes. Sometimes I'm like, you know, is my control too tall? Is it too short? Does it stick out in a crowd? I don't know.
There should be a magic psychologist who has a practice called control issues.
Yes. Anyways, and so then I'll have like an aggro plan B, right? It's like, okay, if I ever hit another control deck, you know, I'll do what I can game one, but then games two and three, I'll just like...
Bunch of creatures.
Exactly. I'll just like throw creatures at them until hopefully I win.
Right. Sometimes like that's what I always love to do in sealed when I think my deck is like pretty... Like my rares are bad and I'm like, oh, my opponent's always going to have better cards than me. I just play a bunch of creatures. And that's what you can do, right? Because like, well, if in this case... Yeah, I think that's a transform you could do in limited.
Nice.
You know, I'm going to board in a bunch of creatures and see if he can kill them fast enough.
All right, everybody, get out there and transform your transformational sideboard and hopefully have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
It's like a double feature at the movies. You go in for one, you get in for two.
That's right. Or it's like when you're dating someone and then they have an elective brain surgery done that changes their personality.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what happened?
You get a whole new partner for free.
For free.
Although they can only change 13% of their brain.
What? Is that a fact?
No. What a strange thing I would know.
Okay. Oh, they can
like
only...
13 cards.
Yes.
That's
like a
going.
Third. They can only
like
change
a third of their brain.
Yeah. They can only change a third of their brain. But they can go from being a very aggressive person to like a pretty laid back person.
Or they could go to being someone who just says no all the time.
Exactly. No, you can't cast that.
No. Control player is like a two-year-old who doesn't want to eat beans.
Why are you feeding two-year-olds beans? That's weird. Okay, you guys, we talked a little bit about it, but now it's time to talk more about it in Standard Corner.
It's just a standard corner.
Nothing special about this corner. Pretty much 90 degrees.
Hey, Megan, you played some standard action on Friday, little FNM.
Yeah, I sure did. I don't get to play all that often, so I'm always real excited when I can. And I played the most recent Pro Tour win deck.
Yvonne Phlox Flock.
Yes, exactly, which is blue-white planar cleansing control. And what I love about this deck is that in the 60 cards, the main 60, it actually doesn't have a real win condition. It has Elixir of Immortality so that I will not get decked. You can get decked. But it does not have an Elspeth. It does not have an Aetherling. It is just like, do you know what? Eventually you will realize that I have won the game.
That is this. It is. Okay. I find that sick.
I find that opponent scooping.
Sick and wrong.
Yes.
Magic has a time limit. How dare you?
And I will say, you know, I never, on Friday, I went 2-1-1, and I never decked anybody or reduced their life total to zero. I never did either of those things.
Just scooped.
I would make you do it.
Some people but then do. That's
they
not,
do, but it's, the thing is, it's not productive, Maria. Trust me, you'd be hating every minute of it.
So sometimes when my opponent's not scooping, if you like have the game under control, you have to like demoralize them a little more. So what you'll do is I'll just start casting Dissolve, and not any other card, just actual Dissolve on every single thing they play. And like once you do it to like the seventh card in a row, like, oh, then they start realizing that this just isn't any fun, and then they usually scoop.
Yes. But you know, as fun as some of the creature decks I played against were, the most fun I had was definitely playing blue-white control mirrors.
Sick. You're
this is
a sick
bad.
Person.
This is great. I like this too.
The first one that I played was against a guy who is also playing the Planar Cleansing Elixir only.
Do you only
belt.
Have one Elixir in there?
Yep.
Why would you want two?
You don't need. That's redundant.
I don't know, but what if they get rid of your first? What if they keep countering?
Well, that's the thing is that you just can't let them do that. Okay. So the first. Sure. The first mirror I played was a draw in game one. We never finished game one.
You know what? This sounds like my literal nightmare.
So it was 50 minutes plus 5 more turns.
Oh my God.
Nobody won.
Oh, no. Wake me up. It's not real.
And it was actually, I know that you're not going to believe me, but it was super interesting. Wow. Because there came a time when we both were playing a little game where we were like, am I going to ultimate my Jace and find your elixir? No, you're going to cleansing. We're going to get rid of everybody's Jaces. Oh, are you going to ultimate Jace and find my elixir?
So you like this because it's like a Jane Austen novel.
What?
Lots of like little deck flirtations. Like, are you going to be the one to kill all my shit or am I going to kill all your shit?
Yeah, exactly. It was very, Mr. Darcy.
That's the best part. There's no shit to kill.
Yes. There were multiple times when I took two from my shock lands just for fuck's sake. I was like, whatever.
You got some sheep, though. They're sheep.
Sometimes when they minus their Jace, your opponent does, you split the cards 3 and 0. Because you want them to take all three, because then they'll deck faster.
Yes.
What is Jace's? Tell me.
-2. The opponent will flip the top three cards of their deck. You split those cards into two piles, and they get to pick one pile to keep. So I kind of split them into a pile of three and a pile of zero. I'm like, yes, you can have them all.
Yeah.
If there aren't any good cards in any of the three, you split it 3-0.
Yeah. So there is a point at which my opponent had gotten in like one more revelation than I had. So he had a few more counter spells in hand than I did. And he was able, you know, he played out his elixir. And I was like, crap, mine's still somewhere in my deck. And then eventually I drew it, luckily. And then I let him, then, you know, we're just like going back and forth. And eventually, you know, I bait out enough counter spells and I get him tapped out and I play out my elixir. And then it's just like, okay, now we're playing this waiting game of like, oh, can I, you know, kill your Jace before
this will
I have to shuffle
won't.
All my
he
stuff?
Is just like a book.
Exactly. So all you need to know is that nobody decked, nobody killed each other.
And how did you feel at the end of all that, Megan?
you know, I like, felt okay.
Like you accomplished something?
I accomplished not losing. Unfortunately, I didn't accomplish winning, so that was disappointing.
Well, this deck doesn't seem to really care too much about that.
Oh, are you kidding? I play Blue White Control because I want to win. I just want my opponent to know that I fucking won also. That's why you play Blue White Control. You're like, who won? I won because you quit.
You know what? I know you have an unhealthy love of Sphinx's Rev, but man, I am so excited for that not to be a card that's legal anymore.
What? You don't even play Sphinx.
They'll still be control decks.
I know, but I want some weird, crazy other stuff to happen.
Anyways, that wasn't even the meanest thing that I did all night, though. The next round, I played another mirror match.
Oh, no.
And in game one, we're not that far into it, and I happen to have two dissolves in hand, and he tries to resolve an elixir, and I counter it. So, right, he is, at this point, unless he can steal my elixir with Jace or counter my elixir, and I've drawn more cards than him, he has, at that point, lost the game.
The problem is that normally he could stands a decent shot of countering your elixir, but in order to get to the point where he wins the counter war, he's got to, like, draw a lot of cards so that he draws his dissolves, and by the time he does it, his deck's smaller.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
And then you just
sit
there and draw one card at a time, and you lose.
So basically what I did after that was, like, I don't resolve any big draw spells. I just, I cycle some Azorius charms. Cycle is just when you cast a card, draw a spell, and then you draw a card. It's a, cast some divinations, draw a couple of cards, and he resolves the Jace and starts ticking it up. And I'm like, this jerk wants to get to 8, ultimate this Jace, and try and steal my elixir. And about two turns before he gets there, I draw my elixir.
And you've won.
And then at that point, I've won.
Yep.
But I feel like...
Don't cast it. Just keep it in your hand.
I felt like a jerk. And so I'm just holding it. And I let him take his Jace all the way up to 8, ultimate it. And he searches through his deck, which at this point has 3 cards. He has 3 cards left until he decks. He's like, okay, I find an island out of mine. And then he looks through my deck, sees that my elixir is not in it, puts down my deck and just says, I concede.
What if you weren't even running elixir?
No, he's like, I concede. And I was like, I've showed him my hand. I was like, it's here.
He so much has just felt like, so he must have just felt defeat real hard.
Yeah.
Looking through, not even there.
Felt pretty good.
It's like opening up underwear on Christmas morning.
Elixir's a super weird card in the mirror because you'd think it's the only card that matters. But, like, it actually doesn't matter because you never actually try to cast the thing. Or you don't... Never, but...
Yeah.
You know, it actually doesn't do... Like you said, you never actually had to cast your elixir.
I would say, like, the place where I want to be in the mirror is, like, I want to have my elixir in my hand and that's it.
Yeah. What I found is the most important card in the mirror is Dissolve, because it does something. It counters spells, and, like, probably the most important card to counter is their Dissolves.
Yeah.
So you need Dissolves so you can counter their Dissolves.
It is a messed up world we live in, boys and girls.
Yeah. It really is.
Thanks for your Standard Corner, Megan.
Yeah, thanks guys for listening to my Standard Corner.
Looking just... Real usual.
Real usual. I'm going to be real sad. You know, we're going to have a standard rotation pretty soon.
A standard rotation.
Standard rotation. 360 degrees. Pretty usual. When Cons of Tarkir comes out, all of those RTR black cards will be gone. So
bye-bye.
You won't have no more mono black devotion, no more pack rats or desecration demons.
We can only hope that some card is real broken in Cons that they didn't catch.
And then, no Sphinx's Revelation or Supreme Verdict, so.
Are you going to have a little funeral where you bury a Sphinx's Revelation in a shoebox in the backyard?
Yes. Yeah, I already have a Sphinx's Revelation in a shoebox ready.
I'll say a mass.
Thank you.
So as we all know, Magic cards are good for playing Magic, isn't that right?
Yeah, man, they sure are good for playing Magic.
As well as all sorts of other Magic paraphernalia. But, as we also all know, they're also good for a lot of other uses.
They are?
That's right, Megan. We've come here to this moment of the show where we're going to talk about how to use your Magic stuff for stuff that's not Magic.
Oh my gosh, you guys. My brain is like a train track. Trains can only go down it one direction.
Is that how train tracks work? Only one way.
So the fact that you're telling me that I can use magic cards for something other than magic is blowing my mind right now.
That's really funny, Megan, because I think I see your window propped open with a box of magic cards.
Oh, man. Almost. That's a box full of sleeves.
Oh, well.
For magic cards.
Wonderful.
But that definitely is a deck box, and it definitely is full of magic paraphernalia.
I feel like this is like a weird HGTV segment of our show where we're all the uses for clothespins that are not holding up your clothes.
Oh, do you want to put a bid in on this house? And by house, I mean Elspeth.
And I've also noticed you're using your playmat as a big giant mouse pad.
That is true. That is, you know, okay, so maybe trains can go two ways down train tracks.
But not at the same time, you guys.
Not at the same time. That's one of my favorite uses for playmats. This is giant mouse pads.
When I found out that you can do that, it was like a whole new world.
You guys, I think it's just the exact... Playmats are literally giant mouse pads. Yeah. They are made out of the same stuff.
Yeah. I think it's great. Matthias, tell me about some of your unusual magic pieces.
I used to, when I was taking the bus a lot, had a deck box that I kept with a bus change in it. And that was all, you know.
Adorable.
Yeah. I also have a mouse pad playmat.
Don't we all?
Yeah. I have a wood table in my house, and I don't always have a set of coasters. So sometimes we'll use playmats as coasters when we're hanging out, you know.
When the company comes.
That is such an absurdly big coaster.
Well, it's like, sometimes I just kind of cover the table in random playmats. You know, it looks kind of like a big quilt, but it works. You can put a cup on it.
A magic quilt made out of playmats.
That would be the most uncomfortable quilt to sleep under.
It'd be really hot.
It would be super hot.
Yeah.
Somebody, please sleep under your magic playmats and tell us how hot it was.
You'd like sweat and it would stick to you.
Yeah, it doesn't breathe.
We have to do this for science. This is for science. Sleep under your playmats, take a picture, post it on the twits at MTACast. Share it with us. I want to know what happens to you.
Yeah, and tell us exactly how uncomfortable it was.
Because we live up north in Minnesota, and we are prone to long winters, long cold winters.
You're right. Maybe I'll take my playmats and make a pair of snow pants out of them.
Magical.
They'd be really big, the snow pants.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be practical. That's all.
Okay.
I think
the sizing would be wrong.
A playmat could be like an oven mitt. I bet you could use it as an oven mitt.
Oh, man, you could totally make a playmat oven mitt.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, I have done that before.
Are you kidding me?
I couldn't find my oven thing to pull something out of the oven with.
Yeah.
You know, I had like, it was time to like take the food out of the oven. I couldn't find my oven mitt. And it was like, I have this playmat.
And how did it work?
Just fine. It wasn't a playmat I cared much about.
Yeah, I had to get one on each hand. Like,
I can't believe I said that and that was something you actually did.
It actually happened once.
You wouldn't have to get two, though. You could do that thing like when you use a dish towel to take a tray out of the oven.
Yeah, it's like a dish towel, but it's a playmat.
Okay, yeah. So you only have to use one dish towel.
I guess I unnecessarily used two.
For the science.
Science.
Yeah.
Although I worry a little bit that it would melt because the underside is like kind of rubbery.
Well, yeah, use the other. Yeah.
You have to use the fabric side.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked on this show before about using deck sleeves for condoms. Don't do it. I know it's tempting.
Why is it tempting? That sounds like the worst idea ever.
That sounds, if
we're being honest.
You're just, you know, you're out and they're sitting there. They're called dragon shields. Give me a break. You think, hey, I'm in a pinch. These seem okay. Don't use UltiPro for the love of God.
I like that there's the appeal that they're called dragon shields. That was the big that was the big draw.
Yeah.
For me, yeah.
For you, dragon
shields. Name a condom brand that sounds cooler than dragon shields. I dare you. You can't.
Hold on. I'm going to look up.
I have to determine
if I want this on my search history.
Put it on private.
Do you know what? We're just going to go for it.
Yeah, because I don't think there is a single brand of condom that sounds like more badass than Dragon Shields.
Okay.
That means that you're referring to your junk as a dragon.
Well, yeah, that's
okay,
what I'm saying.
Okay, I mean, okay, that's pretty cool.
So, like, you got Trojan. Who cares? Your dick's some kind of Trojan. Whatever. You've got...
Apparently the internet has many fun surprises in it.
Megan, what did you find?
Oh, God. There's a brand called Vibrating Johnny.
That sounds very British. That's definitely British.
Oh, God. I don't even want to know. The worst... Cautionware.
That is not real.
No, that's a... Yep.
It's like Tupperware, but cautionware.
Cautionware.
Tupperware.
It's like Tupperware condoms.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Like Magnum? That's mean?
There's
that's
St. Patrick's Day.
That's a brand?
It's a brand.
And oh, a holiday.
Boy. Correct. Yeah. Well, okay. I'm glad that I Googled that.
Anybody, if you can beat Dragon Shields for a condom brand name,
keep it to yourself.
Tell us about
it.
Make sure you let us know.
Keep it to yourself.
you must shield the dragon.
oh, jeez. The point of this was I wanted to hear about your cool magic card uses that were not magic related. That was my point. Mm-hmm. We got a little sidetracked, I admit it.
Yes.
I'll be the first to admit it. But I would like to know because I think there's some cool stuff people are doing out there that we just don't know about.
I've seen some sweet earrings made out of magic cards.
That's true, yes.
And also like little dice boxes made out of magic cards.
You made
me
a lovely one made out of magic cards.
Yeah. So another idea is you can send us your ideas. Or if you're like, man, I have all these magic cards and I like to craft. You know, get on the Google and Google crafts with magic cards because there's some pretty cool stuff out there.
At Gen Con, they build a giant city out of magic cards.
That's true. They do. Gen Con just got done.
Yeah. Aww. And I believe they raffle off the privilege to knock it down.
Yeah, to knock it, to destroy it. Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yep.
You could be like Godzilla.
Yeah. Rawr. The buildings are like as big as you are.
That's amazing.
Knock them all over.
Sweet.
Let us know, peeps, at MTAcast. So, you guys, M15. M15,
yeah.
It's been out for a little while. We all played it at GP Portland.
We sure did.
We talked about that in our last show. If you didn't hear that show, go back and listen for a little tournament report.
Yeah, we have Judge Rob on as a guest.
That's true. So, M15, it's Corset. And as a new player, I've only experienced one other Corset, which is M14.
Yes.
And a lot of people loved M14.
And a lot of people hated M14.
And I was one of the people that hated it. I could never get a good grip on it.
Blue sure was good.
Yep.
Yes.
Blue was the only thing that was good.
Which was the argument. I feel like, you know, I loved M14 because that's when I really fell in love with blue and countering people's spells. But I feel like there was an equal and opposite reaction. Yeah. As there is in the universe, of people being like, blue's the only good color, this set blows.
Yeah, exactly.
I think as a limited format, M15 is probably done a lot better than M14.
More balanced.
Yeah, I think the issue with M14 was blue not only had like opportunity, which is drawing 4 extra cards, but its kill spells are things like claustrophobia and cancel. So it could just counter any spell or kill any creature or like, you didn't really need to play any other colors when you had blue, and it just did everything better than everyone else. And that's not any fun. Blue's kind of bad in M15, but I think, you know, I think they wanted to have blue take its turn at the other end intentionally. But M15's been pretty neat. There's, I don't think there's too many big standout, like, wow, this is better than everything else, with the exception probably of Triplicate Spirits.
God, what a monster.
Triplicate Spirits.
That card is a monster.
So,
a monster!
Can I tell you my problem? This is my prob with M15. So I've been sucking it up hardcore with M15 draft.
Jeez, you know what? Me too.
Just real bad.
I've been sucking real bad at M15.
So, you know, like, we were playing Theros Block, and I was like, oh, I'm playing all 8/4s and winning, and this is great. I'm not paying for shit. It was awesome. So I went to M15 playing 8/4s as well, and I quickly went back down to Swiss because I'm like, I am just... not doing great, and I have a couple of questions about it, and I think I might maybe know why. Okay.
Well, wait, you might know why you have questions?
Yes.
I'm just reacting to the way you said it. Anyways.
I might know why I'm sucking it up. So, Today I made the absolute worst pile of shit I have ever made in a draft. Literally ever.
Really?
Yes. And I did better with that deck than any of my others that I thought were way better.
Okay. This is an experience I've also had in M15.
Yeah.
So go ahead and keep explaining.
So that happened. But also my problem in draft with it is if I do not open a bomb, a lot of the cards I sit and look at, maybe there's some that are the quote-unquote sort of gold cards, like Dauntless River Marshal, which is white but requires a blue activation, or Nightfire Giant. I'll see those in there. And then I'll see, like, you know, Invasive Species. I'll see maybe a Raise the Alarm. I'll see maybe a Battle Sliver or whatever. And I'm just like, what am I supposed to take out of this? You know, there's nothing that I'm like feeling a pull towards. Am I supposed to take this quote-unquote gold card? Am I supposed to just take an okay common, like a solid common? Or what am I supposed to do? So that's my first problem, is that I look at the cards and I'm not excited by any of them that I open.
No, I would agree with that. For the most part, Yawnfest.
Yawnfest. And second, I have trouble understanding what is open in the draft as well, because of the same problem, I think, that they're coming towards me and I'm like, I don't think any of this shit is good. Like,
yeah, if you don't know what's good, how do you know what's open?
Right.
Just like, if how do you know what's cool if you don't know what's popular?
Right, like I
train
never
can
knew.
Train can only go down a track
train
one
can
way.
Only one way. I had no idea that rolling your jeans was cool.
Yep, but I figured it out once it was popular.
That's right.
No, but I totally understand. Although I have to say, I have not had as much trouble with draft. I've two-oned a lot of drafts, which is my perpetual record when I'm doing fine at something.
Yeah.
Is I just eternally 2-1, which is part of why I love Journey.
I was a bridesmaid.
I was like, yeah. Journey, I finally got married.
Yeah.
M15, I'm back to just being everybody's best man. Or whatever. Anyways.
Matthias, what we're saying is solve all our problems immediately.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that I got that same impression first when I started playing. It's like, man, these cards are all real bad. I think that's because I was looking for, you know, like that powerful card that you can just play, like creatures with good base stats. You know, like, oh, hey, this is a 2/2 flyer for 3. I mean, we have one with, like, Carrion Crow and stuff. But, yeah, there's just, like, a lot of the cards seem really bad. And then when you play with them more, I think it's a lot about breaking through a wall. Like, you need creatures. Like, you know, the 1/2 lifelink, Sungrace Pegasus. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty good, even though he's a 1/2 flyer for 2. And that's normally something you have no interest in.
Right.
Yeah, but he's actually, Sungrace Pegasus, I feel like, is actually like, a good card.
He's, like,
yeah,
it top is. Yeah. 4 commons for white.
That
too,
is
which
weird.
Which is pretty good.
That is weird.
Yeah, and when you think about the other ones, like, when I say top 4, so, like, I'm including, like, Raise the Alarm, Triplicate Spirits, like, Heliod's Pilgrim probably comes in 4th for me. And, like, that guy's a 1/2 for 3, and he finds auras, and I don't want to play auras. They don't even have bestow. But
so you're saying I just need to retrain my brain to think worse cards are better?
Well, I think it's you're looking for a different thing. I think a lot of times people, where this is tricky, is people gravitate toward cards that are just like good by themselves, good in a vacuum sort of thing. Like if you go back to playing Theros, like Nimbus Naiad, he's just pretty good. Good on 3, good on 5, versatile. Like, yeah, sign me up for that guy, right? And now you have to like, you have to figure out what kind of cards are good in this format, and some of them don't look particularly... They look a little rough around the edges. You know, like I said, a 1/2 flyer for 2. No, this guy's actually good because you get into these board states where it's like your cards just don't matter anymore, right? Because I'll play a Wall of Frost, and something like your whole deck can't beat my Wall of Frost right now. And then you have to figure out, like, okay, well, if he's playing all Wall of Frosts... You know, Invasive Species is a card. He's a 3/3 for 3, and that's normally a pretty good card. But if your opponent has 0/7s, well, that's not any good. So how do you get around that? And I think once you play the format, you start kind of learning some ways to get around stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the cards that you have to play don't always look very nice.
Yeah. So, and I've also just been feeling like I didn't realize this sealed format, I feel like, is very much about... I mean, arguably you can say this about, you know, any sealed format, but I felt like in Journey, there was a pretty broad spectrum of what you could play. You know, you could go any number of ways. Whereas in M15, I've noticed that it just feels like what is the straight up most powerful thing you can do?
Yeah.
And if you don't have a most powerful thing, what's the thing that's extracting the most value?
Yeah. Aggroing people out with a solid curve of creatures only works in red, and it doesn't even work and very
it doesn't
well.
Yeah, that
work,
is very
it
true.
It doesn't even work very well.
Oh, that's so sad.
So it's just it's just very hard, because I noticed in Sealed, I would just be like, do you know what? I'm really happy with this deck. It, you know, I built one that has like, you know, a Flesh to Dust and two Covenant of Bloods and like a Joro by Murklurker. And it's like, yeah, I'm doing like some sweet stuff. I'm killing some things and giving some things lifelink. And it's like my opponent plays like fucking triplicate spirits. And it's like, well, I sure am screwed.
Well, you've hit one thing on the format, is that card is really good. And by really good, I mean, it's not just the best common. Like, there's no real good way to answer it. I think when you talk about cards that answer it, like, the best answers for it are like Negate.
Fester Gloom,
but like, you really don't want to play that card. You can. Razorfoot Griffin and hope your opponent never casts Sanctified Charge for the rest of the game. Like, these are like the best. These are the premier answers in the format to triplicate spirits.
One of my best answers is hoping they don't draw it.
Perfect.
Please. Yeah,
perfect.
Your own triplicate spirits is probably high up on the list of answers to triplicate spirits.
So is that the card you most want? You're most excited to see?
Like absolutely. I think. Yeah, I think it's the best common. I would imagine any draft table, like, at a three people of the eight people in your draft first picked triplicate spirits.
Oh, gross.
Okay, so tell me, triplicate spirits, you really like it. What other commons are juicing your gears?
All right, so, like, by color, kind of like...
Wait, I think juicing your gears is I don't even, not a healthy way
do
to
I
treat
want,
gears.
I don't...
You gotta
you
juice
could say
gears.
Like oil.
No, you have to oil gears.
Yeah, I don't want to put juice in them.
You have to, you can grease gears.
What is oil but juice of the earth?
Like,
yep, fair. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Sure, no. Oil, totally juice in the earth.
That's why I called juicy juice.
Juice of the earth would be like lava. Or maybe like aquifers.
That's why I called juicy juice the oil of the apple.
What does that even mean?
I honestly don't know.
Okay, by color, sure.
Okay. I think green, you like Elvish Mystic, he's good. I think Netcaster Spider.
You gonna first pick of Elvish Mystic?
Yeah, why not?
Sure, I have seen people first pick Elvish Mystic.
Yeah, he's like pretty
hop on Channel Fireball, watch LSB do it a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, if you get like five of those guys, you can do some really good things.
Probably the worm. Do you like the worm that much?
He's fine. I don't think I want to first pick him as much as I want to first pick a Netcaster Spider.
Okay.
Because Netcaster is just like, I want a card that's like always good in my deck of that color.
Sure.
I think black, you get like Flesh to Dust.
Well, that's actually good to know actually about the Netcaster Spider. Like, that's a card
that
I'm like.
Yeah, that card is real good.
But that like, is it is actually
top
good.
Common, oh. Top common for green.
Okay.
It is quite good.
Black's not too hard to figure out. It's the kill spells. You know, your Flesh to Dust, your Covenant of Blood.
Yeah.
You like it better than the 3-2 Intimidate?
Yeah.
Okay.
A 3-2 Intimidate. A Cursed Spirit's fine, but like, he's still just a 3-2 for 4. He's
there
good.
Sure are a lot of Bronze Sables in M15.
You can block him if you... There are ways to kill him if you have to. He's still good, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think for red, of course, Inferno Fist and like Lightning Strike are great.
Yeah.
Wow, first pick Inferno Fist. What have we come to?
Maria.
That's great.
We've arrived at Corset Town.
Inferno Fist, you shouldn't be sad about first picking an Inferno
Fist.
Okay. Yes. That card's like actually would maybe even be the first pick in a set like Theros. That card is actually really good.
Just really good?
Yeah, that card's just really good.
Okay, all right.
You like put it on your Intimidate. It deals a ton of damage.
I'd first pick Magma Spray in some situations.
Right, and it's probably better than Magma Spray. Most often in Limited, it'll be better. The Borderland Marauder, is that the 1-2 for 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's not bad to first pick, and Krenko's Intimidator dude is not
Enforcer.
Bad. Yeah, that one.
I wish that was the name of
the card, Intimidator.
Krenko's Intimidator.
Dude.
Krenko's Bouncer.
Krenko's Bouncer.
It goes with the enchantment Krenko's Club.
I think blue...
Oh, Krenko's Club! If you get Krenko's Enforcer, Krenko's Intimidator, Krenko's Bouncer, and Krenko's Club...
Man.
You win the match.
It's
not
a mafia.
Just the game.
You literally have the goblin mafia.
Can we please have this happen, Wizards? Are you listening to me? Some combination of cards that if you get them all out, but only in limited, you win the match, not just the game.
What? I mean, that happens. It's called Pack Rat. And the other card it combos with is turn two.
They had some stuff in Corset like 2 or 3 years ago that were like little relics that had the word of empires on the end of them. And all of them specifically said at the end, if you have all three of them, it was like, one was like tap, make a 1/1. If you have the other two and it, make 6 1/1s or something. You basically won.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or there was, you know, Mace's End. Have all the lands. Win all the games.
Then you'd have to like draft 10 gates. And then you don't have many picks left.
That would be
for
amazing.
Cards.
Someone's got to have done
you
it.
You spent
someone's
11 of your draft it. Picks on lands.
11 of your draft picks.
Wow.
How bad would it be if you drafted it and then you ended up with only 9 of the gates? Like you didn't see the 10th one?
That would
be
amazing.
So bad.
That'd be amazing.
What like, else? Wow, I wasted so many picks.
Okay, white was triplicate and
blue is the last color. Blue is pretty weird because it's not doesn't have okay. So like blue aggro, like you'd want Welkin Turns and Frostlings. But I actually kind of don't think that deck's any good, so I'm kind of get excited about stuff like Coral Barrier, which is a really weird format that Coral Barrier might be one of blue's top commons because it's a 1/3 for 3. But it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, ma'am.
Okay.
Coral Barrier.
You're helping
not too
me
shabby.
See the world in a different light. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Coral, it's weird. Yeah, that this I don't know. It's still weird to think like Coral Barrier might be one of blue's best commons. It's kind of strange.
Do you know what? M15 is nothing if not strange. You know, Mr. M15 lives next door to Mr. M14.
Yeah.
In that neighbor in the MTG
in
ma-
the
neighborhood.
MTG neighborhood.
And
yeah.
Everyone's like Mr. M15's house is the one that has like it has like copies of like weird Greek statuary in the front yard and like but next to gnomes. And then there's like several gopher holes, but M15 dug them himself. A gopher doesn't live there. And the house is painted in candy cane stripes.
Your analogy is so perfect.
Thank you.
Much better than your train one.
I don't understand what was wrong with the train one, so I think that they are both good.
That's
thank
why
you.
You see arrows painted on train tracks.
Exactly. This track goes this way.
All this talk of M15 has inspired us to play a game called What's Better Than Triplicate Spirits?
So, yeah. Or more specifically, this game is called Better or Worse Than Triplicate Spirits.
Oh, yes.
Spirits.
Better or Worse Than Triplicate Spirits.
Where I'm going to name cards.
Uh-huh.
And we will say whether they are better or worse than Triplicate
in
Spirits.
In M15 or
yes.
Just...
Just M15 cards.
Okay.
We played this a bit at Portland. It's this game's gross. I'm not going to throw you ahead of time.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. We'll start out with an easy one. Nimbus of the Isles. 4 and a blue, 3/3 flyer.
Worse.
I'm going to go with worse.
Worse. Okay. You know, moving on. We've talked about it. Krenko's Enforcer. 1 red, 2/2 intimidate.
Worse.
I'll go still worse than Triplicate Spirits.
All right. I'm going to start making this an actual game.
Gonna have to
Lightning Strike. 1 and a red, 3 damage.
Worse.
Instant.
You
worse.
Sure have named one of the top 3 commons in the set, but I'm going to go with worse.
All right. Oh, here we go, you guys. Let's see. God, I'm going to... Do you know what? We're going to skip over all of these comments. We're going to jump right up.
You got
to
move up.
We're
going
to move up to the
uncommon.
Right
here. Here we go. Ancient Silverback. 4 green.
Worse.
6/5 green for regenerate.
That's still worse.
All right. Here we go. Sunblade Elf. Green. 1/1. Gets +1/+1 as long as you control planes.
Worse.
I'll still go with worse.
Kurd Chieftain, 3 and a red, +1/+1,
Kurd Chieftain.
As long as you control a forest.
Worse.
I'm going to go with worse.
That is sad.
Nightfire Giant, 4 and a black,
worse.
4/3.
I actually think that guy's worse than, I think that Kurd Chieftain's better than Nightfire.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Jorul by Murk Lurker, 2 and a blue,
worse.
1/3, +1/+1 as long as you control a swamp.
Is better than that entire cycle. And that entire cycle is like, I splash colors for that cycle.
Oh, God. Okay, here we go.
All right, we got to go so move up to
this
rares,
is fun.
Probably.
Sometimes we talk about cards as, like, describing how good a card it is. You talk about, like, what's the worst card that you would pick over it? You know what
yeah.
I mean? We're it's fun because we're
yes.
getting up to that point.
Okay. Hornet Nest, 2 and a green, rare, 0/2, defender. Whenever Hornet Nest is dealt damage, put a
Martinus actually isn't all that good. Someone go with worse.
God, you guys. Here we go.
Because you know what beats Hornet's Nest? Triplicate spirits.
Well, you just don't attack into it. When there's a giant nest of hornets, you probably just shouldn't touch
it. All right. Colonian Twin Grove. Five worse. And a green. Colonian Twin Grove's power and toughness are each equal to the number of forests you control. When it enters the battlefield, put a green treefolk warrior creature token onto the battlefield.
Twin Grove is very good, and I first pick it a lot, and I still think it is worse than triplicate spirits.
Okay.
This is so weird right now.
Because you're talking about rares? God. Like, I'm first seeing this common over rares?
Yasan, the Wanderer Bard.
Oh, worse. But he's real good.
You have to have a deck that's good with Yasan, whereas Triplicate Spirits is kind of just good with planes. So I'm going to go with Triplicate Spirits. But Yasan is very good, right? Because he creates Yasan a lot of value on his own.
Obnixilus, Unshackled, 4BB, 4/4 Flying Trample.
Oh, God.
Whenever another creature dies, put a +1/+1 counter on it.
I so want Obnixilus more than Triplicate Spirits.
Okay.
That's because it's probably wrong, but I will probably pick him because he's a 4/4 flying demon. I'm like, yeah, give me some of that. But like,
I'm going to take Triplicate Spirits.
Like, I know it's wrong.
We still haven't reached the threshold.
Oh, my God. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. We're really getting in here, you guys. Okay, here we go. I'm saving some of the best for last. Let's go with this, though.
At what point will I stop answering triplicate
Jace,
spirits?
The Living Guild Pact. 2BB, 5 loyalty.
That one's easy.
Triplicate spirits.
You just can't kill those stupid things.
Chandra Pyromaster.
Triplicate spirits.
Probably still spirits. Chandra's very good.
Okay, Megan is somehow they'll walked away from this podcast, but
they'll probably kill her first.
She yelled, "Chandra can kill them one at a time because she can shock." That's one of her deals.
I should mention there was one uncommon we missed along the way that I'd probably take over spirits, which is Cone of Flame.
Cone of Flame. Yes, I would take Cone of Flame.
That's the only uncommon. I actually went through this before. I went through the spoiler.
Wait, you need to stop. We're playing a game.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yamathias, come on.
It's the only one.
Okay, Cone of Flame.
Right. I'm going to take Cone of Flame unless I already have a white card in my pool, in which case I'm taking Triplicate Spirits.
Okay, so Chandra Pyromaster, we went with Triplicate Spirits.
I went with Triplicate Spirits over Chandra. I mean, if I'm in a draft, the Chandra is like worth a lot, right? So I should probably take Chandra.
Yes. Liliana Vess.
Oh, Triplicate Spirits.
Yeah, triplicates.
Nyssa World Waker.
You know how many Nyssas I've played against, you guys?
I played against so many fucking Nyssas.
It's like every match I play against Nyssa.
Yeah, man. No, I understand.
What's your answer, man?
Just kill them before...
No, Nyssa or Triplicate Spirits.
Triplicate Spirits.
I'm taking Nyssa.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
We found one.
That is one of the cards on my list of things I will take over Triplicate Spirits.
Nyssa, so we got Nyssa and Cone of Flame.
Uh-huh. All right. We're still playing, you guys.
Okay.
Master of Predicaments. 3BB, 4/4 Flyer.
Man, I want to take the Master. That's just me. Like, I love big fat flyers. I mean, it's probably worse, but...
I'll take the 1/1s.
Yep.
You can Flesh to Dust a Master. Can't Flesh to Dust Triplicate Spirits.
All right. We're really getting
that's
up here,
really
you guys.
Fun. This card's stupid.
Soul of Innistrad. 4BB.
It's the black soul?
6/6 Death Touch. 3BB. Return up to 3 target creature.
Better, huh? I think Triplicate is still better.
Oh my God. Soul of Ravnica, 4BB, 6/6 flying.
Still the spirits. Sorry. It's not better than all the souls.
Soul of Chandelar.
That's the red one?
4RR, 6/6 first strike.
I like the Chandelar.
I'm gonna take this soul. I think that guy's like actually he might be like he's like top 3 cards in the set.
Yeah, Soul of Chandelar is pretty sweet. Soul of Zendikar, 4GG, 6/6 reach.
He does answer the spirits, but I'm gonna go with spirits.
Soul of Theros, 4
white.
That's
like the best card in the
set.
Take
the Theros.
Soul of Theros is just the best card in the set.
Okay.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Oh, yeah. We're still going, you guys. Ajani Steadfast, 3 and a white, 4 loyalty planeswalker.
I haven't played with that guy enough to have a great opinion.
All right.
I think you're supposed to... Oh, gosh.
I'm going to read you his abilities.
No, I know what he does. Okay, go ahead.
+1. Until end of turn, up to 1 target creature gets +1/+1 and gains first strike, vigilance, and lifelink. -2, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control and a loyalty counter on each other planeswalker you control. Ultimate. Who cares?
I kind of want to play with the Johnny.
I would take him, but I'm not sure I'm right. I just would have to learn. I would take him to learn.
All right. Avacyn, Guardian Angel. 2, white, 5/4, Flying Vigilance.
I want Avacyn.
I think Avacyn's better, but I'm not positive. She's harder to cast.
Yeah.
And she's not as good with like, Sanctified Charge.
Spectra Ward, 3 white, enchantment aura.
I want Spectra Ward.
Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from all colors.
I think the ward's one of the colors. That cards that's like just better than Triplicate Spirits. Sometimes you play that card and you just win.
All right. So you're saying Spectra Ward.
I'm going to say Spectra Ward.
All right.
You know, it's great because we're going with rares here.
Yeah.
No. I know because you guys, I just skipped over all of the uncommons because...
It's a weird... This is bizarre. Like, I don't know if I have the discipline, actually, to pick Triplicate Spirits over a Planeswalker. Or maybe even over a Soul. But maybe
right,
I should.
Right, because you're just like, oh my god, Blue Soul, slam! And you're like, I'm like, that was the wrong pick!
I have a good one.
What?
Triplicate Spirits or Spirit Bonds?
Oh.
I have an answer.
Spirit Bonds, 1 and a white enchantment. Whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay white. If you do, put a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
This pick came up in a draft I did very recently.
I was also in that draft, so I know.
I believe Michael Simon made this pick and then passed it to you, isn't that right?
Yes.
And I believe you got a second pick Spirit Bonds.
I sure did get a second pick Spirit Bonds.
Wow. And
do you know what? I have to say,
and
you guys,
I think he was right.
I looked at it. I looked at that Spirit Bonds and I was like, I want to take this, but I bet fucking anything he took a triplicate spirit.
Okay, if you see a Spirit Bonds and there's a common missing.
Yep, that's what it is.
It's a trap. It's a
trap. White is not open. That jerk.
There's only one common.
Did you take it, Megan?
Did I take it? I did, because I was a hopeful little person.
Eidolon.
I was a hopeful little Eidolon.
But no.
No, that was not true.
So
okay,
what
wait.
What?
Just a couple more. Just real quick answers, because I forgot that we have colorless. Soul of New Phyrexia.
Spirits.
Okay. Let's see. Garruk, Apex Predator.
Oh, boy. He costs 7.
He sure does cost 7.
I really like 7 drops. I'd take Garruk. I bet I'm wrong.
Maria?
Oh, I'd take Garruk for sure.
Scuttling Doom Engine.
I want the Scuttling D!
I think you're supposed to play Silent. Take Scuttling Doom Engine.
Yes, that card seems super sweet. All right, that's everything that
I've
got.
Which does mean, like, by proxy, I guess I just said Scuttling Doom Engine is better than Soul of New Phyrexia, which I think is right.
I think that that is also correct. Well, you guys.
What have we learned?
We sure have learned a lot.
There was a lot of this. So, like, if you played a lot of Modo and you played Vintage Masters ever, it had this exact same issue going on with a little common called Battle Screech, which is also a common that makes a ton of 1/1 white flyers.
Yeah.
And it's also the best common in the set and better than almost every uncommon and, like, rare. So, it's really weird. Like, why would 3/1/1 flyers be so much better than a 3/3 flyer? I've had people, you know, ask me that before. And I think it's because of how hard it is to, like, the tokens are so much better because, one, they don't die to a kill spell. And two, you can do really dumb things with tokens. Like, if you pump your whole team, then they just get out of control. And the set is so good at doing that. Like, Sanctified Charge is a common, and people don't even want it. Like, if you have two... So you got to first and second pick Triplicate Spirits, right? Like, you're going to get 2 Sanctified Charges in this draft.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
No one else wants them.
Gulp.
That's all she wrote, kids.
That is sure is all she wrote. I think we've learned a real lesson here, you guys.
Yep.
Triplicate Spirits.
Do it. Just do
it's
it.
It's real good.
Yeah.
Just take them.
If it was
F
a drug,
card.
Just inject it.
F that card so hard.
Thanks for listening to our show, all you peeps out there.
Yeah, man.
All you old moms and new dads and everyone in between.
We really appreciate it.
Thanks
and if
for
you
coming
are...
on, Matthias.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on.
You can follow him on Twitter at MTGMatthias.
Yeah, you can take the one-way train track that is emails and send us an email at magicTheAmaturing@gmail.com. Check out our website at magicTheAmaturing.com or send us a tweet at MTAcast.
Hey, if you want to download and listen to this episode every week with the things in your head that receive sounds, please do so. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, mtgcast.com, themeadery.org, or look for it at your local library.
That's right. We love supporting libraries. Mm-hmm. I support them with book finds all the time. You're welcome, libraries. You're welcome.
All right. See you guys all later. Have a good breakfast, lunch, and dinner tomorrow.
Good night.